Good morning. Today's Daf and Kedushin Ayin Tes. We are Ayin Chesam and Beis. We are at the Mishnah. There are two Mishnahs here on the Amud. We're at the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud HaOmer. HaOmer b'ni zeh mamzer. It's a terrible thing to say about your own son, but the Mishnah over here describes where a person now is going to give edus that his son is a mamzer. So ain't no neman, so he does not have nemanus. Afilu shnehem modim ala uber shebe'me'eha mamzer ain't no nemanim, even if they both admit, meaning father and mother both admit, that the child is a mamzer, eina ne'emanim, they do not have ne'emanim, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ne'emanim, Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree on this point, and he says that they are, in fact, ne'emanim. Okay, so over here, two positions within the Mishnah regarding the ne'emanim of a parent to identify, and in this case, not just identify, but to passel their very own son. Well, I say their very own son. In other words, by him declaring that the son is a mamzer, he effectively is saying that it's not his child. If it's his child, the child is not a mamzer. In other words, he's saying that she was impregnated by somebody else. So the father does not have the credibility. So now why doesn't the father have credibility? So ostensibly, and Rashi writes this, so he does not have credibility because he's a karuv. So and therefore he's not kosher to give edus on him. Okay, so it's just for a moment. I don't want to spend too much time on this. So we have a full daf ahead of us, and we have a classic sugi coming up in the course of today's daf, but for a moment, in other words, within his testimony, it's kind of built into his testimony where even though right now he's a kuruv to his own son and therefore he can't be made on his own son, but within the testimony, he's saying it's not my son. So it's almost like a little cyclical. In other words, where if in fact you were extended that credibility, part of that credibility is that's not my son. Okay. Anyway. But Pashas, let's just say nice and simple, and that is that the reason why he can't testify about his son is because they're kroven to one another. And you can testify about a karov. So my vafilu shneim, now the Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama, says that even if mom and dad both acknowledge that the child is a mamzer, so there ain't no nemanim, they're not going to be believed. Why does it say vafilu shneim, even the two of them? So lo mi bai kamar. So the Gemara says like this. It is, the Mishnah is in the style of, it goes without saying. Lo mi baye ihu de lo kimle. So the Gemara says, look, goes without saying that the father can't testify because how does he know he's the father? He does not know definitively. Okay, in other words, he certainly knows that he was with his wife, but he also is unsure in terms of who else she may have been with. In other words, he has a very good idea, but he does not know definitively. Lo kimle. Elafil I de kimla. But over here, where she has absolute certainty in knowing who exactly she was with, so la mehemna. So the Gemara says, that's the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is that this, we don't believe, is for the man, but lo mi bai kamar. It goes without saying, it's for the man, he doesn't even know for certain. But even for the woman who, quote-unquote, knows for certain, but still, point is that she does not have the ne'emanus. Again, we're talking about krovim, and therefore, no ne'emanus. V'lo mi bai hechadis lechazak adekashros de la mehemna ela fila ubar. Nami delaysle cheskas dekashas lo mehemna. And then the Mishnah wants to make another point, and that is that if the baby's born now the baby has a cheskas kashas, right? In other words, a cheskas kashas is that the baby was born, and we don't know otherwise, so we have to assume that the baby is born in a state of being kosher. And now they want to take apart, they want to dismantle that chazaka. You can't do. But maybe this is a consideration. Maybe while the baby is not yet born, it's an uber b'mei imo, and now it's a fetus that does not enjoy the cheskas kashrus. Certainly sounds like from the Gemara's discussion, the cheskas kashrus begins only after the point of birth. But the consideration is that there is no cheskas kashrus yet, and therefore it could be that maybe testimony given by the parents are enough to discredit, meaning I have testimony of the parents, I don't yet have a chazaka, so all this plays into what I might have thought, so kamash malan. So the chiddush now of the Mishnah is, still, in other words, we have parents reporting, discrediting the status of somebody, the parents can't do that. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ne'emanim Kedetanya, the Gemara now goes to the second sheet of the Mishnah, which is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara points out, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing, how could Rabbi Yehuda argue? Meaning you're a karuv, you can't testify. So how does it work? So the way it works is because we have a gzeras hakasuv in this particular situation. The Gemara quotes a braisa. The braisa should sound familiar because we did this braisa earlier in the Masechta. Yakirenu la'acherim, the pasuk which the Gemara does not quote. Well, the Gemara quotes one word, yakir. The pasuk, he has to bechor ben hasinu'ah. Yakir lasis lo pishnayim becholasher yimatze lo. So the Torah describes where you have two children from two different wives. One wife you like, the other wife you don't like. We discussed this earlier in this Masechta. And over here, what does the Torah say? Yakir. Now, in the simple pshat of the psukim, it just simply means that here's what the father cannot do. The father can't recognize the child, the second child over the firstborn. In other words, what he must do is he must recognize the firstborn for being the firstborn. Okay, that's the simple pshat. But now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're also learning a halachic point as well. Yakir, yakirin la'acherim. When the Torah says yakir, so recognition of the child means that not only in this simple pshat of the pasuk, but it also means contextually that you can go and identify this child to others. The father is empowered with the ability to identify not only who his child is, but what his child is. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Neman Adam Lamar Zebani Abachor. Ukishem Shaneman Adam Lamar Zebani Bechor, Kach Neman Adam Lamar Zeben Grusha, right, Ben Chalutza. Vechacham Emor Remeinu Neman. And so we have a very fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in terms of how far the Torah allows the father to have this credibility to say things that are positive, i.e., the son is a Bechor, or to even also go so far as to say that the son is a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, or in our Mishnah's case, even to attest to the fact that the child is a Mamzer. Amar Lei, Rav Nachma Yitzchak LeRav Abisham LeRav Yudai Nidichsiv Yakir. El Rabban Yakir Lamali. Good. So in other words, for Rav Yehuda, we know what his source is. He has a drasha. What about according to the Chachamim? So the Gemara says, Bitzar Chekera. So the Gemara says that, no. As far as the Chachamim are concerned, how do they darshan the word Yakir? And the father's credibility to identify his son? That's talking about a case where Tzar Chekera, meaning we simply don't know. Meaning what happened was is that the family is coming in from out of town. Right? We have no background, no family history. We don't know what's happening. We don't know, meaning we know it's a family unit, but we don't know who his sons are. We don't know who the oldest is. So that's where we need Hakara. And that's the only place that the Chachamim are going to allow the father to testify. So Lama Hilchasa Lasis Lopishnaim Pshita. Lama Likra. Migidu Yabai Mesole Matana Milo Yavile. So the Gemara says, okay, but still. Meaning, so we have this family coming from out of town. They're a family unit. The father's identifying the oldest. So what? So that he can receive pishnayim? Gemara says, even without a drasha, when we're talking about monetary law, it is totally within anyone's discretion to give whatever money to whomever they want. So over here, so what are we saying? Because of the drasha, the father now can give more money to his oldest. Because he's identifying as the oldest. It's mamonos. When it comes to mamonos, you have full discretion to do whatever you want with your money. So b'nechasim shenafel lachem ikan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you, no. I'll tell you where, halachically, I need the testimony of the father, and that is we're talking about an account receivable. Meaning what happened was is that the father identified who the oldest was. Nobody knew. Family came from out of town. Nobody knew. Father identified who the oldest was. Then the father died. And after the father died, what happens? What happens is that an account receivable. In other words, the estate now collected on an old account. And now, this is not money that the father had in hand. It was not biyado. And now, we're going to allocate it. So now, the allocation of these new funds that come into the estate. So how is it going to get allocated? Well, now the Bechor is going to say, well, I get 2X. Right? Everyone here gets X. I get 2X. I'm the Bechor.
Yeah, but I mean, originally the father can give. It doesn't have to give the Abishnai. It doesn't have to give double.
So the Gemara says what about the shita of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says that the makna davash lobalolam. So it's an account receivable. That money has not yet been collected yet. So what? According to Rav Meir, people can make kinyanim with future acquisitions. Adam makne davar shelo bal olam. That's the shita of Rav Meir. So now according to Rav Meir, so once again, it's my money. Even the monies I'm holding and even the account receivables that I'm not yet holding, I still have full discretion to do whatever I want with the monies. the monies that I'm currently holding and the future monies that are going to come into my estate. So now the question, we're just resetting the question. So now I have this very special halacha, yakir. The father can identify who the bechor is. Okay, the father can identify who the bechor is even without identification. Dad can do whatever he wants with the money. So the Gemara says, you're right. So lamalisha nafalo kishu goseis. So the Gemara says, we're talking about where the money fell when dad was a goseis. Dad was a goseis. So on one hand, dad was alive. On the other hand, he lost his discretionary ability. So Rachman, when you're a goseis, so you can't make any executive decisions. You simply don't have the mental strength, physical strength. You're a goseis. You're a holech lamus. So at that point in time, so now we've lost dad's discretionary ability. Now all we need, or all we can rely on, is the halacha of identification. Meaning previously, dad identified who's who. In other words, who's the oldest, who's not the oldest. Ah. So under those circumstances, so now I need the halacha of yakir in order to make sure that the oldest gets 2x. Okay. I'm going to make one quick correction because I'm sure you noticed I took a moment to pause. I just want to make one quick correction in terms of what I said, because I realize now, what I said is somewhat wrong. Meaning I talked about how after dad died, so now there's an account receivable that was collected by the estate. Okay. That could easily happen. What I want to correct myself about is that any assets that come into the estate after dad dies, there's no X 2X. The Bechor does not receive 2X of any monies that come into the estate after dad's death. The only 2X that the oldest is getting is only holdings at the time of death. Monies that were actually held at the time of death. Okay. So in other words, so what the Gemara was entertaining was that after he made his declaration, but before dad died, now monies came in. So it is an account receivable, but it's an account receivable that was collected before he died, not after he died. Okay.
So does this invalidate like a will? Where the father says, okay, all the money...
Halachic wills is a broad topic. It does not, in other words, if you want to correctly, accurately do a halachic will, you got to do a halachic will. In other words, if people are doing wills with no concern, no consideration for halacha, so then, in other words, there's nothing to talk about. Okay. All right, let's go. All right, that was the tail end of yesterday's daf, and now we begin. And we are going to begin today one of the most classic discussions that we have here in the Gemara. We're going to be talking about chazakas, and we're going to do that classic discussion, the tension of chazaka dahashta, chazaka demikara. I'm throwing out the terms now. If you've heard the terms before, great. If you've never heard the terms before, okay, there's going to be a lot to think about. Let's first start with the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah is nice and simple. Mishnah asam reshus l'shucho, ala kadesh es bito, v'halach, hu v'kiddusha. So what the man does is the following. He sends a shliach. He says, look, I have a daughter. And, lovely young daughter. I want to get married. And he sends a shliach to go into to accept kiddushin. In other words, the father is empowered to go and accept kiddushin. We've discussed this point time and again in our Masechta. Here we are at the end of the Masechta. This is basic. We know this already. And so he sends a shliach to be his emissary, to be Mekadosh's daughter. And now the father himself, ahalachu v'kiddushah, father himself also goes out and accepts kiddushin on behalf of his daughter. So in other words, this is classic case scenario in the Mishnah where two people now are going to be making a transaction for one item. Now the one item happens to be her. So, im shelo kidmo kiddushav kiddushin, v'im shel shlucho kidmo kiddushav kiddushin. So the first thing we're going to look at is time stamping. Okay? In other words, if you can time stamp, nowadays time stamping is much more easier and accurate than it was back in the good old days, but even back in the good old days, if you can timestamp and you know which kiddushin served first, so then she's mukudeshes to whoever came first. That's easy. However, imena yadua, but if I do not know, we're now in the top of Ayin Testament Aleph, so shneim nosim get. So let's say I don't know. So now this woman is mekadesh two times over. That's ridiculous. She can't be mukudeshes two times over. We just don't know who came first. So now what we're going to have to do is as follows. We now want to solve for the problem. So shneim nosim get. So v'imratzu echa nosim get v'echa konets. So now the two of them are going to be giving a get because we don't know which one's the husband. Now, if you want, one can give a get, and the other one can be konets. And mimanafshach, meaning whoever got in there first, in other words, problem is solved. either the get was necessary and therefore allowed her to marry the other man, or the get wasn't necessary because the first one actually married her. Either way. Now, v'chein ha'isha, she'nasna v'shuch l'shuch l'kadasha, and now the Mishnah is going to be dealing with the exact same case, but we're going to change one variable. And that is that it wasn't shliach versus the father. It was ha'isha she'nasna v'shuch l'shuch l'kadasha. It was a woman who sent a shliach to accept kedushin for her, and v'halcha v'kidusha asasma. And she herself was mekadosh herself. So im shala kadmo kedusha kedusha v'im shal shucho kadmo kedusha kedusha v'im ena yodim shnehem nosim laget v'im rasu echad nosim laget v'echad kones. In the second case over here, identical to the first case, the only change that we made now is the who is making the claims. It's she sent out a shliach and she accepted kedusha on her behalf. And again, the shliach went one way, she went another way. They both accepted kedushin. Which one came first? If we know, so that's the one she's mukadeshes to. If we don't know, so then again, same solution set that we saw in the first case of the Mishnah. Okay, I know I'm going quickly. Tzricha, the Gemara says, look, the two cases of the Mishnah, so they're both fantastic cases. They're repeating the same point. And so why do I have two cases of the Mishnah that are effectively making the same point? Tzricha, di ish min gabi di day. So if I only had the scenario with the father, Mishum Degaver Kimla Biyuchsin, Ava Isisa de lo Kimla Biyuchsin, Emalon Ava Kedusha Kedushin. So the Gemara says, look, as far as the father is concerned, I can make the argument that the father is paying careful attention to the families that are going to be marrying to his daughter. He knows the families that are marrying the daughter. He knows the yichus of those families marrying his daughter. So what I would argue is that when it comes to the father, so maybe I would say that we would give preferential treatment to the father and his decisions because he knows yichus. However, when it comes to her, so the lokim la biyichsin, well, as far as a woman's concerned, what does she know about yichus? Meaning he seems like a really lovely guy. What about his family? I don't know. And I may not just care that much. So that's a havamina. That's the havamina of the Gemara. So therefore, lo nehavi kedusha kedushin. That's why I would have thought that maybe we wouldn't give equal weight to her kedushin. And iash mina gabi didan. If I only had the case regarding her, so mishum disa daiko mintsava aval ihu ema lo ichbat leitzricha. So the Gemara says now I could also make the reverse argument that if I only had the Mishnah exploring the second case of the Mishnah, which is where she accepts kedushin, I could tell you that look. Like she's marrying this man, she's going to be doing full due diligence. But if the father is marrying her off, look, the father, as far as the father is concerned, he's going to be receiving the kesef kedushin. As far as the marriage is concerned, I'm saying this really callously, not because I mean it, but I'm not marrying him. It's my daughter marrying him. Did the money clear? Good, the money cleared. Okay, again, the havamin of the Gemara. So I might have thought, therefore, that I may not give the same weight and credence to the father because he may not be that particular about who his daughter marries. That's what I would have thought, Tzricha. That's why I need both cases of the Mishnah. Okay. So far, what we did, you could see I'm just running right now because I want to get to this very point right now. But before we start the sugya, so let's just quickly set ourselves up. What happened? So in the two cases of the Mishnah, what happened was that there were competing kedushin. In other words, either the father sent a shliach and he himself were mekadesh, so it's the shliach versus the father, or she sent a shliach and she accepted kedushin. So I have competing kedushin for her. So if we know what the timestamp is, follow the timestamp, and whoever's kedushin is first, that's her husband. Mazel tov. And if I don't know, in other words, we can't stamp the time, and we don't know which one came first. So now we need a solution. They're both issue a get so that she can marry somebody else, or if they can agree, one will marry her and the other won't give her, it will issue her a get. So far, so good. It's really straightforward. And here's where it gets off the rails. And here is the sugya. Itmar. Kisha via baderech, v'kisha atzma be'ir, v'harehi bogeres. Okay, so in order to appreciate and understand the Gemara, let's set ourselves up really nice and well. Okay. A woman goes through three developmental stages. From 0 to 12, she's a katana. She's a minor. Okay, which means that she is not chayv in mitzvos. And as far as guardianship, as far as whose auspices she's under, she's fully under the father's auspices. Okay, the father can marry her off. The father can sell her as an ama ivriya. Okay, in other words, things that we've been discussing over the entirety of our Masechta. That's from 0 to 12. From 12 to 12 and a half years of age, she's what's called the Nara. Okay? A halachic adolescent. She's a teenager, halachically, from 12 to 12 and a half years of age, which means, I'm using the teenager, I'm borrowing the term, I don't mean it literally. But in other words, it means that she's a child, she's an adult. Okay? She's both. She's an adult in the sense that after 12 years of age, she's now fully responsible for all the mitzvahs of the Torah. On the other hand, however, from 12 to 12 and a half years of age, she's still under the jurisdiction of the father. The father still has all rights to her. Father can marry her off. Father is going to be mekabel, her maisei yadayim, her matana, so forth and so on. Father is still for full jurisdiction over her, despite the fact that from 12 to 12 and a half, she's an adult. But she's still under the jurisdiction of the father. She makes a neder that the father can be made for the nedarim, v'chule v'chule. That's naira. And then from 12 and a half years of age and up, she's a bogeris. She's now a full-fledged adult, totally now separated, and she now is totally independent of her father. Okay? She only one now that can marry herself off is herself. That's it. Her father no longer has any jurisdiction over her. So far, so good. What happens the following? Okay? Now, I'm going to say it as per the Gemara's, as per the Gemara that we're going to see together in just about 2 minutes from now. And that is that from birth until 12 and a half years of age, so who can marry her off? Only the father. She herself cannot accept kiddushin on her own behalf, even while she's an Ira. At 12 years and 6 months, what happened is that she accepted kiddushin. Mamish on her half birthday between 12 and 13. She accepted Kiddushin. And now the question becomes the following. When she woke up that morning, she was a Naira. Later that day, she was a Bogeres. And here we get to one of the most classic discussions, that is, which Chazakah is going to push forward? Which Chazakah are we going to be favoring? The Chazakah, the Meikara, of when she was a Naira, which means that her father accepted Kiddushin on her behalf. She accepted Kiddushin on her behalf. What are we going to say that morning? She was a Naira. That's Chazaka de Mikara. Alternatively, no. Later that day, she did an examination. She was a Bogeris. Now, the exact examination that's done, not for now. The Gemara Nida. We don't need to know that information right now. But in other words, but if she later that day discovers she's a Bogeris, that's the Chazaka de Hashta. That's what we're going to be favoring, and that's what we're going to be looking at. Therefore, whose Kiddushin is the accepted Kiddushin? It'll be hers, not the father's. So basically what we're going to see together is a very fundamental machlokas amongst the Amoraim. Could very well be a machlokas Tanaim. That's coming up in just a couple minutes from now. And that is when I have competing chazakas, the original chazaka, the chazaka de Meikara, versus the current chazaka, and I have any area of time in between those two points. So where do I, that in between time, is going to go with a chazaka de Mikara versus a chazaka de Hashta. Okay. That's the question. Let's see all this inside. It markidicha avia baderech. So dad was accepting kedushin on her behalf. And kishatz ma be'ir, and she accepted kedushin for herself. Evarehi bogeris, and she's a bogeris. So Rav Amar, hare bogeris lefanenu. So Rav says, what did she just discover? She's a bogeris. So 6 hours earlier, I made up that number, but it doesn't matter. It's a good number. 6 hours earlier, when she accepted Kiddushin, we're going to say that we don't know what she was 6 hours earlier, but later that day, she clearly demonstrated to be a Bogeris. The Chazaka Dehashta is going to guide us. It will lead the way. And Shmuel Amar Chayshin LeKiddushin Shneim. And Shmuel says, oh, I don't know. In other words, we know that prior to today, she was a Naira. And so therefore, we have the Chazaka de Mi'ikara. And now, if she's a Naira, so which Kiddushin now are we going to have to accept? The father's Kiddushin or her Kiddushin. Today, she's turning into a Bulgaris. Yeah, but we only discover that after the events of the Kiddushin. And so therefore, we don't know for sure. Shmuel says, Chayshinan. I now have to at least entertain the possibility she was a Naira. And so therefore, Rav and Shmuel are arguing about which Chazaka do I favor? Chazaka Dahasha versus Chazaka de Mikara. Now first, let's clear this up just a little bit and clean it up a little bit. Amos. When did this happen exactly? Are we talking about before the six-month window? Are we talking about after the six-month window? Before the six-month window, she's a Naira. After the six-month window, she's a Bogeres. So the Gemara says, and I gave it away, so you knew this was coming. Rav Amar Hare Bogeres Lefaneinu, the Mehashu Bogeres, Betzafer Nami Bogeres, Ushmol Amar Hashu Daisi Simanim. And so what happened was is that the case under review, the case we're discussing, is where it was Mamish on the 6 month birthday, on the mid year birthday, which she's making that transition today from being a Naira to being a Bogeres. And now it was on that day she accepted Kiddushin. It was also on that day that the father accepted Kiddushin. And now, prior to today, we know she was a Naira. At the end of the day, she discovers to be a Bogeres. We know she's making that turn today. So now we know that she's making that turn today. So what do we say regarding the Kiddushin? Are we going to look at her original Chazaka, therefore favoring dad's acceptance of Kiddushin? Are we accepting the current Chazaka, the Chazaka, the Ashna, therefore favoring her acceptance of the Kiddushin? Okay. So what we're looking at over here is a very basic fundamental debate about which Chazaka is going to reign supreme. So Ushmu Maishna Mi Mikvah. And so now here we are in a very classic discussion of Chazaka, the Ashna versus Chazaka, the Mikara. And so in a classic discussion, what are we going to look at? A classic case. Okay. This Sugya, right, pronounced in, at least in my mind, clearly the beginning of Masechta Nida. We had almost the identical sugya in the beginning of Nida, and here we are at the end of Kiddushin, same sugya. What's the case of Mikvah? Ditnan. So the case of Mikvah, second parak, second Mishnah. Mikvah, shenimdad v'nimsa chasa kol taharos shenasu agabav salamafreya bein birushot seyachid bein birushot sarabim tomeos. So what happens is the following. Okay, we all know about evaporation. So what happens was that the mikvah was a kosher mikvah. Yeah, but that was a month ago, 2 months ago, 6 months ago. And now what happened was is that the last check that we did, right, every time they checked the mikvah, so they made a note. They signed it. Okay, good. So the last examination of the mikvah was 6 months ago. Okay, I understand. Better maintenance should be done if the last examination was 6 months ago. And now we just did an examination of the mikvah and the mikvah is not kosher. The water is below 40 saw. So now I know we have 2 points on the calendar. 6 months ago it was kosher. Now it's not kosher. So for the last 6 months, when everyone was coming, toveling themselves and their kalim in the mikvah. So what do we say? So the Mishnah mikvah says, I'll tell you what we say. I don't care if it's Rishos Yachid. I don't care if it's Rishos Rabim. Everything that you told in the mikvah is not a good tefillah. It's all tame. Okay, So what are we saying over here? What we're saying over here is that the Chazaka de Hashna, I ignore it. I only work with the Chazaka de Mikara. What's my current information? The mikvah's no good. I'm going to work and operate with my current information, and I'm not going to look at the history, even though historically it was a kosher mikvah. Now, if I'm learning the Mishnah Kipshuta, which we just did, this is a strong nod in the direction of Rav, and it's a very strong question against Shmuel. And the Gemara answers. So Shani Hasam Dikalameimar Hemad Tameachaskaso Vemalo Taval. So the Gemara says, you know, over there in the case of the mikvah, so you have to take a lot of things into consideration. Meaning it's not just a simple question of Chazaka de Mikar versus Chazaka de Hashta. You also have to take into consideration what's happening in that mikvah. We're toveling items. Oh. We're toveling items? What kind of items? Items that we know for sure, we know for certain, we're tamei. Ah. So we also have another chazaka to take into consideration. The chazaka of the item that I'm toveling in the mikvah. Oh, now take that into consideration. So we know that the item being toveled in the mikvah was definitely tamei. The mikvah status right now, meaning we're between the two periods, where historically we knew it was kosher, but now it's not kosher. So now we're in a questionable period of time, but the items that we put into the mikvah were for sure tamei. Ah, that's you have to take that into consideration. So the Gemara says, "Hemei tamei chazkaso ve'emar lo tavo." Adar abahem and mikvah chazkaso ve'emar lo chaser. So the Gemara says, okay, but when it comes to the case of the mikvah, look, right now it's missing. So the Gemara says, great. So as far as our case over here under review, she accepted Kedushin on the day where she turns to be a Bogeris. So she accepted the Kedushin. Later that day, she checked, and Hare Bogeris Afanecha. So Hashu Debagra. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I would argue, in the case of the Bogeris, she became a Bogeris only right now, meaning earlier that day she wasn't a Bogeris. So the Gemara says, Hasanami, Hashem Hu Dechaser. So the Gemara says, why don't I say the same thing regarding the mikvah? The mikvah historically was kosher, now it's not kosher, so maybe I will tell you that it lost its kosher just right now. So the Gemara says, Hasam Tartel Reusa, Acha, Chadel Reusa. So the Gemara says, breaking it down, the cases are not comparable because there is a very basic, fundamental difference between the two cases. Let's chazer. In the case of the Bogeres, so what are we looking at over here? Only one question. When did she turn and mature from being a Nara to a Bogeres? She was a Nara from 12 to 12 and a half years of age. She's now on day, and she's now on the end of the 6 month period from when she was 12. She's now 12 and a half years of age. She's making the turn today. And now she accepted Kedushin. She did an examination. She turns to be a Bogeres. So now there's only one question, and that is, was she authorized to be able to accept Kedushin on her behalf earlier that day? Or no, was she not? That's it. That's all we ask, and that's all we can ask. In the case of the mikvah, I have a compound problem. Number one, the mikvah was kosher, the mikvah is not kosher. So at one point between the two, the mikvah lost the status of kashrus. But you have to add to that also that I tovel something in the mikvah. And that item that I tovel in the mikvah, what chazaka did that item have? A definitive chazaka of being tamei. Otherwise, why am I toveling in the mikvah? Obviously, I'm toveling in the mikvah because it was definitely tamei. So in the case of the mikvah, I have now tarta l'reusa, meaning the mikvah was kosher. We know that for sure. But against that, I have now two strikes. Strike number one, we just did a check, and the mikvah currently right now is not kosher. So somewhere in between, it lost its kashrus. That's strike number one. Now, I don't know when, and again, I have competing chazakas, but then even before addressing now the halacha, take now the second strike against you. What's the second strike? That which I put into the mikvah was definitely tummy. And I'm trying to be matariat. So that's tarte l'reusa. In the case of the woman accepting Kedushin, there's only one question to ask. In the case of the mikvah, there actually are two questions to ask. The Gemara says, V'raminan. Okay, sorry. So, Shmuel Maishnah Mechavis. Okay, so now, here we are. So we went through the case of the mikvah, and now there's one more case that we have to go through, and that's the case of Chavis. Ditanya. Okay. So in order to appreciate and understand this, so again, just a little bit of background information, just a little bit. Okay, what I want to do over here is that I want to harvest my grapes, and I want to continuously manufacture wine and drink wine. But we have truma. In other words, right, we got to give to the Kohen. 2% of everything is going to go to the Kohen. So what I'm going to have is I'm going to have my truma barrel. I have a truma barrel of wine. So in other words, then what I'm going to do is as follows. With every time I harvest and every time I make my wine, so now in that barrel of truma wine, I'm just going to say, how much did I make over here? I made 100. So 2% of it now. I'm going to take this barrel of wine. 2% of it is going to be truma. I mean, 2%, not of the barrel. 2% of whatever I'm harvesting and whatever I'm making. So 2% of that, I'm now going to just simply transfer that over to that barrel of wine. Okay, obviously, we'll measure. We'll figure out how much 2% is. And we'll keep doing that with the barrel of the wine until the barrel of the wine is now full of truma wine. And now we'll just simply hand that over to the Kohen. Beautiful. Okay, it's a nice, easy system. Here's the problem. The problem is that wine sours and wine turns into vinegar. And what happened was that now this has been the truma barrel for some time. And it's almost full. When I say it's almost full, by the way, please, if I'm not explaining this well, the barrel's already filled with wine. I'm just now identifying as I keep making more and more wine, I keep moving up on the barrel. That's not truma, that's not truma, that's not truma, until it's full with truma. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that I opened up the barrel of wine, getting ready to give it to the Kohen. I take a smell, and it's no longer wine. It's all vinegar. Okay, so it turned. It turned on me. It went from wine to vinegar. Now, just in terms of the halacha, I can't be mafresh wine onto vinegar. They are shtei minim. They are two different. They are two different products, and therefore I can't be mafresh the wine onto the vinegar. Okay, when did it make the turn? Again, same question. I know definitively at one point it was wine. I know now definitively that it's vinegar. So when did it make the turn? That's the question. Now, there is a three-day buffer. Now, over here, Rashi tells us, see the Gemara in Baba Basra, in terms of what that three, how to understand the three-day buffer. For the purposes of simplicity and just really streamlining the discussion, ignore the 3 days, okay? Because the truth of the matter is, the Gemara in Baba Basra has a machlokas, how to understand those 3 days, how to factor the 3 days. Ignore the 3 days. There is a 3 day buffer where everything's okay. Outside of the 3 day buffer, so what do we say? So now let's learn that Mishnah again. Let me read the Mishnah again. D'tanya t'braisa ya bodeg et chavis afish ala truma v'holech v'achar kach nimtz et chometz. So kol shosh yamim vaday. Okay. So for the 3 days, we're okay. Again, I'm ignoring that for now. Mirtz Hashem, Baba Basra, in about a year from now, thereabouts, we're going to be doing the sugya again. A little bit more than a year from now. We're going to be doing the sugya again, and we'll understand those 3 days a lot better. But for our purposes right now, we don't need to know about the 3 days. What do we need to know? Any other day outside of those 3 days. Mikan ve'elech, safek. So now what we have to do is we have to safek. What does that mean? We have to safek. Meaning we don't know. We don't know whether it was definitively wine or definitively vinegar. It was definitively wine. It's now definitively vinegar. Any time in between, we don't know. We're going to have to repeat truma again. Now, v'ramin nechavis ha-mikvah. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Repeat truma again? I don't understand. Meaning, in the case of the mikvah, what do we say? Ma'ishna da'acha, ma'ishna da'acha. So the, ma'ishna da'acha vadai, ma'ishna da'acha safik. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You just confused me. In the classic case of mikvah, what do we say? We said that all the tefillahs that were done between the 2 points are definitively no good. And in the case of the chavis, what do we say? All the truma that I did between the 2 points, possibly no good? Meaning, shouldn't I expect alignment between the 2 cases? So Amar Rav Chanina Mesor Yaman Tana Chavis Rabbi Shimon Idagabe Mikvanami Sveika Mashvei. So the Gemara says, oh, so in terms of aligning the case of the mikvah and the case of the chavis, so the Gemara says, here's what you need to know. In the case of the chavis, it's a machlokas tanaim. So here now in the Braisa, we are introduced to the opinion of the Chachamim. In other words, any truma that I'm doing between the 2 points are definitely no good. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Bereshus Rabbim Taros, and Bereshus Yachid Tolin, Aval Rabbanan, Tevel Lemafreya. Okay, good. According to the Chachamim, it's Tevel Lemafreya. Fine, perfect. So now what happens over here is that now that we've just given a little bit more information, so what am I saying? I'm saying that in both in the case of the mikvah and in the case of the chavis, I know at one point what it definitely was. I know now what it definitely is. And in the interim, what are we going to say? Are we going to favor the chazaka, the dimi ikara, or are we going to favor the chazaka, the hashta? And in both cases, according to the chachamim, I favor the chazaka, the hashta. I look at what we've just discovered. We've just discovered the mikvah is no good. We've just discovered that it's vinegar, not wine. And I'm going to take that status, I'm going to bring it back. The chazaka d'hashta is going to play dominant in terms of defining what that gray period is. Okay, good. Now it's good, by the way. In other words, if you're Rav, it's better than good. I now have the Mishnah, the case of the Mishnah Mikvah, and the case of the Mishnah of the Braisa of Chavis, and both are supporting the position of Rav Chazaka Dahashta. Now, what if you're Shmuel? Gemara's question. So Shani Hasam Dikala Meimar Hametevah Chazkaso Veimalo Nitkan. So Shmuel's defense by the barrel and the wine vinegar is going to be the same exact defense that he had regarding the Mikvah, because in the case of the wine vinegar, it's not 1 strike against you, it's 2 strikes against you. The Gemara explains, Adraba hemegayna cheskaso ve'emar lo hichmitz hare hichmitz safanecha hachanami. Hare hi boger safanenu. Hashu debagra. Hasam nami hashu deachmitz. So the Gemara, again, just keep bouncing back between the cases of the barrel, the woman, In other words, again, the common denominator is that they made a turn. When did they make a turn? So I'll say regarding the barrel, it just made a turn. I'll say regarding the woman, she just made her turn. So hasam tarta l'reyusa, hacha chada l'reyusa, l'reyusa hudika. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? Again, in the case of the barrel and the truma, I got two strikes working against us. Again, let's count the two strikes. Strike number one. Currently, right now, we've discovered that the barrel's vinegar. That's strike number one. Again, I know it was wine historically, but now I know it's vinegar. That's strike number one. And strike number two, what was I looking to do? Take tevel, which I know definitively was tevel, and now change its status from being tevel to masuka, to making it wine that I'm now allowed to drink. Oh. That also requires a status change. And I know definitively was tevel. Oh. So just like in the case of the mikvah, what was I toveling in the mikvah? Something that was definitively tameh. So just like in the case of the mikvah, here in the case of the barrel, I now have not one reyusa, I have tarta la reyusa. I got two strikes working against us. Unlike the case of the woman who becomes a bogeres, in other words, over there, we're only asking one question, and that is, when did she make the turn? That's the only question that we're asking. It's not tarta la reyusa. Okay, so where are we right now? In such a fundamental debate between Rav and Shmuel, when I have competing chazakas, I have point A, I have point B. Right, point A historically was some time ago. Point B is right now. And I know point A was one status. I know point B is another status. And that interim period. So I'm filling it in with the original status or the current status. According to Shmuel, it's the original status. That's the chazaka de mikara. According to Rav, it's the current status. The chazaka de hashta. So which do I favor? It's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And what about the cases of chavis? And what about the case of mikvah? The Gemara says those cases are different. In defense of Shmuel, those cases are different. Even though, by the way, in both of those cases, we favor the chazaka dahashta and not the chazaka demikara, but in defense of Shmuel, those cases are different. Name a kitanai. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's now, as we wrap up the daf today, still got like another 10 more minutes to go, but let's suggest over here that this is a machlokas tanaim, mi motzei miyad mi. Over here in this machlokas tanaim, what are we looking at over here? So the following scenario. A person has gifted all of his assets over to a buddy of his, a friend of his. Okay, so what's the ground rules in terms of allocating and gifting all your assets to somebody? So basically, the halacha goes like this: if you were of sound mind and sound body and you were totally healthy when you did it, so mazel tov. Again, we made this point earlier today. It's your money; it's your discretion to do whatever you want with the money. What if after you gave all the money, you come over to him and you say, you know what, I'd like it back. Okay, what's it called? I certainly will help you out, meaning I can't, the amount of appreciation I have for you that you gave me all your money is great. I'll certainly help you out. But in other words, it's not your money anymore. You gave it to me. It's my money. Thank you very much. Okay, so that's if he's of sound mind and sound body. However, let's say when gifting all of his money, at the time when he was gifting all of his money, he was a shchiv meira. He was in critical condition. He was deathly ill. What do we say over there? Even though he didn't make the condition, it's conditional gifting. It's understood that, in other words, the reason why he's giving away all of his funds is because he thinks he's dying, and therefore he no longer needs it. And I understand children, estate. I'm going to ignore that right now. The Gemara is going to ignore that right now. That's not our discussion. Our discussion is that there are built-in conditions that are set when you gave the money, when you were a shchev meira. Okay, so now here's what happened. So the two people now in the courtroom, and as they present themselves to the judge, so the recipient says the following. He gave me all of his money. I have the contract. And he was of sound mind when he wrote it. Okay. And the gifter said, I don't know what he's talking about over here. I was a shchev meira at the time when I gifted it. I know right now I'm healthy. Baruch Hashem. Right? Miraculous recovery. But I was a shchiv meira at the time when I gifted it. There was a built-in condition built into the gift. And now he needs to give me back all my assets. Okay. So that is right now currently the case that's being litigated in court. And so over here, all that, mi motzei miyad mi. So now the question is, who do we award the money to? So who motzei miyadam below raya? Vehein ein motzin miyado below raya. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov says, the gifter is going to get everything back. He will get everything back. And Rabbi Nelson Omer, Im barihu alav lavi raisha yesh chimera, vim shchimeravu alem lavi raisha barihu. And what Rabbi Nelson is going to say is the following. You see his current condition right now? That's probably what his condition was before. That's the key line in today's daf. His current condition will dictate what he was previously. Currently, right now, he's healthy. I'll have to assume that previously he was healthy. And therefore, he gifted it out of sound mind and sound body. And therefore, irrevocable. On the other hand, if he currently is a shchimera, so then I'm going to assume that at the time of the gift, he also was a shchimera. Okay. Therefore, built-in condition to the gift. God bless you. I knew you were going to ask that. Okay, fine. I saw it coming. So good. I saw it coming, and I'm like, David's going to ask. Okay, fine. Your question's excellent. Just the point is, the larger point is that whatever he currently is, that's what we're going to assume that he was previously. If he's currently a Shemira, so then you're right. And then I get stuck. Then he's not entitled to receive the money back. Okay, anyway. But as far as now what we're seeing over here, so it's great. Meaning the Gemara says, you see what we're seeing over here? Presumably, this is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. It's a Rav, the Amar Rabbi Nelson. And in terms of alignment, there seems to be a perfect alignment. Rav goes like Rabbi Nelson, meaning I'm going to look at Chazaka de Hashta. Chazaka de Hashta will govern what was there previously. And Shmuel, the Amar, Rabbi Yaakov. And Shmuel's going to go like Rabbi Yaakov, which is, what are we going to be favoring? Chazaka de Mi'ikara. Perfect. I mean, perfect. It's a machlokas, but at least now the machlokas is playing out in both cases. So Amlecha Ravana Damre Afilu Rabbi Yaakov, and Rav will tell you that no, I hold even like Rabbi Yaakov. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yaakov hasam dikol amei merhem and mamana cheskaso avahachemine merhem gufa cheskaso. Rav will tell you the following. Here's where I'm going to agree to Rabbi Yaakov in this case, and specifically in this case, because we're talking about money. And when we're talking about money, what do we know? It's rule number one about money. It's rule number one. And that is chazaka, cheskas mamon. Who's the owner of that money? Who was the owner of the money? Was the gifter? Was the owner of the money? Now, granted, by the way, and this did confuse me a little bit. In other words, but the gifter gifted, right? That's true. But in other words, but as long as, when we go back and ask the question, when we know for certain who was the owner of that money, and when was it not questionable whose money it belonged to, that goes back to the time when it was in the gifter's possession. So in other words, it's his definitively, and now a challenge to, well, maybe it belongs to somebody else. Hamed mamano cheskasa. When it comes to mamanos, you operate with chazaka. That's why I think Rabbi Yaakov is right. The money should go back to the original owner. But over here, we're talking about a girl who's making the turn. She's turning 6 months today. And therefore, we know today she's making the turn from being an Arad to being a Bogeres. And so since we know she's making the turn, so therefore, it is fair to now not only ask, but ascertain that her current status right now is going to be governed by what she currently is. She's a Bogeres. Yes, and you have to also understand that we were expecting her to make the turn today. That's why Chazaka de Hashta is going to win out over Chazaka de Mikara. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel will tell you the following. Afilu l'Rabbi Nelson ad kan lo kam Rabbi Nelson hasam dekulei amar cheskas brim kaima. Mind the kamafik nafshe havi alai lasui raya. Avahacha mikamafka nafshe mecheska de kamei. What Shmuel will tell you is the following. And that is that, look, in the case of the Bari and the Shchemira, people are generally healthy. His argument now as he comes into court is, I know I'm healthy right now, but I was really sick when I gave the money. Okay? In other words, what Shmuel will argue is that it's cause for skepticism and doubt. People do get sick. But in other words, but the norm is that people are healthy. And now you're arguing that even though currently you're healthy, but previously you were sick. In fact, you were so sick you were a shchimera. So Shmuel will tell you, I would agree with Rabbi Yaakov. That is the reason, in such a situation, be skeptical. Be very skeptical. But over here, I'm now looking at a woman who is going from being a Nara to being a Bogeres, and I'm looking at which Chazaka is going to govern. In other words, we know for sure she was a Nara. We know now she's a Bogeres. And I'm going to tell you that what's going to govern her status in between is going to be the Chazaka de Meikara. Because, in other words, we're not speculating maybe she was a Nara. No, we know she was a Nara. Okay. So the, fine. So even Shmuel will tell you the case of the Shchemira is not comparable to our discussion over here. Name it Kahani Tanai. Let's do one more. Kitcha Avi Abaderech, Kitcha Asma Beir, Sarehi Bogeres, Tanachada, Harehi Bogeres, Lefanein, Vatani Idach, Chayshin Lekidushe Shneim. So my love, Chad Kirav, Chad Kishmuel. So the Gemara now brings in two brises on our case, right, where she accepted Kedushin, again, on her 12th and a half birthday. So she accepted Kedushin, her father accepted Kedushin. One brisa says it's her Kedushin. The other brisa says afterward, maybe dad's Kedushin takes effect, meaning what they're arguing about seemingly is Rav and Shmuel. So lo, idivi idik Shmuel, they're both going like Shmuel. Kan v'machashaso, and kan b'she'in machashaso. So what I could argue is the following. The Bryces are not arguing with one another. In other words, there's circumstantial evidence that would lead us in two different directions. In one Bryce that says that we're going to say that the daughter's Kedushin is going to take effect, you know what I would say? She's machish. In other words, she tells dad, look, I'm 12 and a half today, and I'm telling you that I exhibited simane bagras. Okay. So in other words, but it's testimony coupled with the fact that it's expected, meaning it's something that we expect it to happen. So it's a good point, but in other words, it's something that we expect it to happen. So over there, I would say then, in that case, favor her. Masha ain't Cain. In the case where we say we're chayshin l'shneihem, that's a case where she's not machish. In other words, she's not protesting to the fact that, you know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe I wasn't Ara at the time. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what we just did? So we just created shalom between the two brises. You know, why don't we create shalom between Rav and Shmuel? Why don't we say the same thing within Rav and Shmuel? In other words, he passing like Rav. Now, what case it was, I don't know. Meaning, it was a case that involved Chazaka de Hashem versus Chazaka de Mikara. Whatever the case was. And he favored Rav's position. The Ikbit Shmuel was already upset. V'amar kule ama. I'm sorry. V'amar kule ama. Kaili bekaba zuta. V'haimid rabban kaili bekaba rabba. He says, right, everyone measures with a small measuring cup. And this one measures with a large measuring cup. It's an expression of the Gemara basically saying, like, what makes him think he's so smart? Mm-hmm. Meaning, right, I have my opinion. I don't understand. I was going against my opinion. And the Gemara says, well, look, if you're arguing that Rav and Shmuel are not arguing, and maybe Rav is talking about where there was no hachasha, and Shmuel was talking about where there is a hachasha. So then why is Shmuel getting upset? I mean, maybe the case is a case where there was a case of hachasha. So Amalei Marzuchel Rav Ashi, Hach Amar Amem, Rehilchus HaKavaseh de Shmuel, Rav Ashi Amar Rehilchus HaKavaseh de Rav, and Hilchus HaKavaseh de Rav. And the Gemara concludes that on this particular question of Chazaka de Mikar versus Chazaka de Hashta, so the Gemara says we're in fact going to favor the position of Rav, Chazaka de Hashta. We're gonna operate with the current chazaka versus the previous chazaka. Okay, Adkan. We're gonna pause over here. That was a sugya. And by the way, just in other words, all I did going through the entire sugya, we did a basic, like a real cursory look at the sugya. In other words, there are so many just number of points which I didn't go over. I wasn't able to cover. I just gave a simple reading interpretation of the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel in terms of when I have competing chazakas, the present versus the historical chazaka, which one is going to play out, the questions of mikvah, the question of chavis, right? They're just we just scratched the surface. That's all we did, but not bad. In other words, that still has value. Obviously, tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah.